So, remember back in episode 1 when we talked about marsupials and how interesting they were? Well, I kind of forgot one. Yeah, that's a my bad. And it's even more a my bad because it's one of the most recognizable marsupials out there. And again, it's something that I shouldn't have really overlooked, but I mean, I thought the first thing that came to my mind was I'm making an episode on it regardless, so there's no point. But basically, the reason why I say this creature, or this marsupial rather, is famous, well, it's because of how adorable they are and how much they have been on the news in recent years. So with that, let's dive in. Welcome back to Talk on the Wild Side, everyone. My name is Will, and today we're going to be looking at the koala. Now, koalas are one of, not the fan favorites within the entire animal kingdom, simply because of their adorable looks and their actions and how they just act in general. But not only that, but also a documentary recently named them as one of the top 10 cutest animals in the entire world. So it's a big accomplishment. So it's not only an opinion, but it's now a statement. It's a fact that these are the cutest, one of the cutest animals out there. Now, today we're going to be looking at facts about them. We're going to be looking at how they live, how they are, how they act. And in the end, we're going to look at a legend that surrounds them. And we're also going to look at how they're fighting for their lives since they are listed as functionally extinct. But we're going to get into that in a little bit. But first things first, we're going to look at the fact that koalas are not bears. We call them koala bears a lot, but they are not bears. But in fact, they are marsupials. And marsupials are, if you don't know what they are, then where have you been? The first episode's about marsupials. Come on, y'all. Get this in shape. Come on. But a marsupial, basically, is an animal, or is a group of animals in which the female has a pouch. And the pouch is on the front side, and it opens out upwards. Meanwhile, the koala is different in both ways. The koala's pouch is upside down, so it's upside down, and it's also on their rear end. So in other words, like, it opens up from the rear. So it's in the same spot, but flipped 180, basically, the best way to put it. Now, they have one joey at a time, and the pregnancy for that joey can last anywhere between 34 to 36 days, so a little over than a month. And they stay in there, they stay in the pouch once for about 5 months, and then once the 5 months, around the 5 month mark, they will peek their heads out, which is adorable, not just in koalas, but animals in general. Seeing them poke their head out, whether it's a marsupial or behind their mama, is just something that is adorable to see 24/7. And it's just a way to give yourself a good boost of serotonin in the morning. So within around the 6 week mark, they will start congesting pap, which is a pre-digested eucalyptus in the liquid form. So it's liquidized eucalyptus, basically. And they will eat that out of their mother's anus, which I feel like that's going to get me in trouble. Hopefully not. But not only that, but the pap comes in from the cecum, which is a pouch that's connected to both the large and small intestine within the koala, which explains how it's able to secrete that liquid, that food for the baby. And after weaning, the joey will cling on the back until it's about a year old. And what I mean by weaning, I mean like when it's gotten a little more developed. So like the pictures that you see of the baby, of the joeys, not like the little pink jelly beans. But after that 1 year mark, they're going to start learning how to climb. They're going to start being on their own, basically. They're going to start interacting with the world and learn bit by bit. Now, I've mentioned this before, but they have a eucalyptus diet, and it sounds a little odd in the sense that eucalyptus is poisonous to us humans. Like, it's poisonous to us in the sense that if we digest it, we intake it through, like, taste and stuff. Meanwhile, that's not the case with koalas, since koalas have a special gland and special bacteria within their stomachs and around their entire digestive system to help intake that to help them resist that poison, which helps out a ton, and it renders the venom ineffectively. It makes it useless, basically. And another cool fact, a cool fact about the koalas is that they have opposable digits like us, so they can easily move their hands, and this helps them out to grip on to, like, the branches and leaves a lot more easily, since, you know, we need good grip for leaves. Yeah. But not only that, but they also have rough skin, and they have also very sharp claws on their feet, and that provides traction to help them stay on to those tough to hold on to trees, and it just gives it a little more cushioning in a sense to their feet. And not only that, but they also have very strong thighs to help them climb, since they spend most of their lives in trees. So they're basically built for the high life, which is in the trees. Now, on their rear ends, koalas have extra thick fur, and they also have a cartilaginous pad at the base of their spine, and this is to help provide cushioning. It cushions their bottom whenever they have to sit on the forks of branches. And this helps them not only for that, but also helps them to stay comfortable for hours on end, since they can sleep up to 18 hours a day. So it's really a beneficial part for them to have that cushioning with that extra fur and that pad. Now, some other stuff to help them out is their curved backbone, which is something that we consider to be scoliosis, but it's not scoliosis for them. And they have fewer rib pairs, a pair of ribs than us. And this, again, helps them out fit within the forks of the tree branches. Most animals, including us humans, will have 13 pairs of ribs, while koalas will have about 11 pairs of ribs, which to us would be a little bit of a deformity, but to them it's an adaptation to help them out survive. So now we're at the question of this episode, and that is, in which of the Australian states do koalas live in? Is it A, the Northern Territory, B, Queensland, C, the island of Tasmania, or D, Western Australia? And that answer will be told after this break. Welcome back, everyone. I hope you figured it out. If not, that is A-okay, because I will tell you guys the answer, and that answer is B, Queensland, Australia. Now, Queensland is on the east side of Australia. Meanwhile, all the other answers are on the west side. Well, not really all the other options, because Tasmania is an island on the east side. However, all the koalas there have been hunted to extinction because of the fur trade that happened in the 1920s and earlier. So, yeah. And it's a good answer, but unfortunately, no cigar, however that quote goes. But basically, the main reason why that is because on the west side and the central side of Australia, there is a lot of desert that's mostly just barrens, and the Australian outback has barely any trees, and it just would make the life of a koala a living hell, basically. And on the east side, that's where all the forests are. That's where the forests are. And the forest, if you remember, is where they can get all their food, their shelter, and their water, since they get most of the water from the eucalyptus leaves. So going out into the harsh sunlight and into the desert of the Australian outback is basically giving that koala a death sentence, in a way. And not only that, but koalas just can't handle the harsh sunlight of Australia. So it makes sense why they were built to be in the trees. So now we've looked at the koala's characteristics. We looked at how it's been able to eat eucalyptus. But now we're going to be looking at two things first. But before I go into the second one, we're going to head to Nighttime Me, and we're going to look at the legend of the dreaded drop bear.
It's me in the nighttime. Basically, I'm going to tell you all the legend of the drop bear, and I'm trying my best to make the light look good. It's really hard to do, and I know y'all can see it, but there's like toilet paper in the background, and at first I thought it's gonna look weird, but y'all can't see it, so it doesn't really matter. So yeah, let's get into the legend of the drop bear. So okay, so drop bears are dangerous animals in Australia. They are large arboreal predatory marsupials that resemble koalas, and they drop on their prey. They're about the size of leopards, and they're orange, and they have dark mottled patterns on them which resemble the koala. They are heavily built with powerful forearms for climbing, and it also helps them out to hold any prey. Now, they lack canines, yet they use their broad, powerful premolars as biting tools to hold down on their prey. They hunt by ambushing animals from above, waiting for up to 4 hours to do a surprise kill. And once within the prey's in view, they will drop as much as 8 meters to pounce on the unsuspecting victim. First, it'll stun the victim by that said pounce, and then he finishes it up with a bite to the neck. Now, bushwalkers have reported that they have been attacked by these drop bears by being dropped on, and they've also received lacerations and bite marks. However, there have been no fatalities. Now, old folks say that there's a remedy to preventing the drop bear. One of the big ones is to put a fork in your hair to prevent them from dropping on you. And according to old farmer's legend, that Vegemite and toothpaste behind the ears will also scare off these deadly and terrifying beasts of legend. Now, sleep tight. But now, let's get back to daytime mode.
Well, now that we're back from the tale, I want to know what y'all think in the comments below. And yeah, now we're gonna be looking at why the koalas have been in trouble recently. Because now, when I mean in trouble, I don't mean like they've been causing problems more than they are in trouble. But the first things first is the deadly disease, or to them, it's the deadly disease of chlamydia. Now, chlamydia is a disease that can be transmitted sexually. And it's just very bad for them, since it's inevitable, almost inevitable, since 90% of the population of the koalas nowadays have that virus, and it's almost hard to control the virus, because when the joeys are born, they eat pap, like I mentioned before, and that is secreted from the mother's anus. Well, since they eat out of the anus, the pap will end up being infected with the chlamydia virus, and that will end up affecting the joeys at a very young age, and over time it'll affect them, and it can end up to a lot of negative, going to lead to a lot of negative impacts, but some of them that will happen in koalas will include eye infections, blindness, bladder infections, and even infertility, which also affects the population as a whole, since there's going to be a fewer generation, or a smaller population within that next generation. But hope's not lost, in the sense that since October 15th of 2021, the Australian Zoo and Wildlife Hospital began to vaccinate the koalas against chlamydia. And basically, the reason why they chose vaccines instead of the antibiotics that we take is because it's harder to give koalas the antibiotics. Because the antibiotics used for the chlamydia virus will end up disrupting the bacteria within their gut that will help them eat and process that eucalyptus. So it will just end up doing more harm than good to the koala. And so basically how the vaccine ends up working is that it's a single injection, it's a one-time injection that will introduce a very small dose of the strain of the chlamydia virus. And it basically is supposed to build up the koala's immunity system over time so that whenever a real infection happens, that the body's able to combat it and is going to be able to resist the virus from getting in. And after the vaccine, they'll end up getting microchipped to help further understand what's going on, to further see how the vaccine is working. And I think it's a really good thing because it gives the koala a chance, since that they were basically killing themselves in a sense, but it was out of their control. So it's always good knowing that there are people that are trying to put their best foot forward and trying to save the cutest animal in the world. But now the chlamydia is not the only thing that's affecting koalas. There's many other things. Now, some of the other threats that threaten koalas include habitat destruction, like deforestation and crop circles and all that, which I know it doesn't exist anymore, but you know what I mean, just deforestation in general. Or before the 1920s, they were hunted, which was really bad since that lowered the population by a ton. They were part of the fur trade, which a lot of other animals were, like ferrets and ermines. Basically rodents and some marsupials were all part of that fur trade, which I'm glad that they're gone because that must not have been fun to sow. And all of that, but it ended up negatively impacting the whole world. The population of many animals as a whole, and we even hunted some animals to extinction, unfortunately. But anyways, back to koalas. Now recently they've also been getting hit by automobiles a lot more due to increased urbanization and an increase in the human population, so that's always a big deal with many smaller animals and deer and other creatures. And the biggest one that's been happening recently is bushfires, like the Great I call it the Great Australian Fires of 2020, but basically it's that huge, a lot of bushfires that are happening. Most of them are like natural made, but more recently, it's a lot more wildfires have been happening in general because of human error. Like sometimes we'll leave cigarette butds on the floor in campsites, or we'll end up leaving a smoke and charcoal there that's not fully out, or sometimes we'll just leave, or will some people just purposely throw fire in the wilderness and just let stuff happen, which is never good. But it's just something that's not good. And again, the main reason why, in the beginning, I said they've been on the news recently, is because of the chlamydia and because of the bushfires that affected 60,000 of the koalas out of the 330,000 population that's left within the world. And due to those bushfires, and again, due to the chlamydia epidemic for them, that's made them classified as functionally extinct, which means that they're basically on the road to extinction. It's going to be a matter of time before it happens, which is really sad because a lot of people love koalas. I'm a koala lover. I know a lot of people love koalas, but I just feel like there's a lot people can do. And I feel like one of the best ways would be to just donate to a koala foundation. One of them that I've worked alongside, or not worked alongside, but rather have been noticed by, was Australian Koala Wildlife Foundation. And I'll leave the link down below, but they basically help out koalas a lot. And they have really comfy shirts too, but basically just donating to to koala conservation groups, to the Australian Wildlife Organization, to to other foundations that help out. And not only that, but also by just knowing what's going on and trying to find ways to fix it is the best way to get the word out about koalas and their problems nowadays. Because these guys are very troubled for their cuteness, which, again, it's really unfortunate since they are some of the fan favorites. But I'm gonna leave it at that for today. So what do y'all think about the tale of Drop Bear? Let me know down below. And I believe that the Drop Bear tale was something I've always enjoyed listening to. And it's interesting knowing how they can turn a nice and innocent creature to someone's worst nightmare. So it's always something really interesting to me. But yeah, that's all for today, y'all. Thank you so much for watching. Hit the like button down below. Subscribe if you are new, of course. And don't forget to turn on the notifications. Follow the Instagram at Will Zoo Keeps, and all sources are linked below. And in the link below, there will also be where you can find my podcast, where else you can find my podcast, or rather, I should say, my nature show, since it's no longer an audio recording, just for audio recording of me. But yeah, that's all for next time. So until next time, cherish nature and all of its beauties.